Father's Day is rapidly approaching, and if your dad already has a garage full of tools and insists no more ties, then I suggest you try this episode's sponsor, Homefield Apparel. Homefield is a premium brand based in Indianapolis, creating incredibly comfortable, officially licensed collegiate wear from over 150 colleges. They dive deep into each school's history, finding unique logos and mascots to craft nostalgic designs. So for a Father's Day gift to knock out the competition, why don't you take your dad down memory lane of his college glory years when he was big man on campus? You can do this by making sure you head to homefieldapparel.com. Again, that's homefieldapparel.com.
You better put your oven mitts on for this one, because this podcast is coming in hot. We have the first American football game, the first NFL game under the lights, and a great American hero who gave up his thriving football career to lay down his life for his country, all coming up in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and this is your football history headlines for the day of November 6th. Just like we said on a teaser at the beginning of the show, this episode has some big firsts in football history, and we'll go right at it with the first one starting November 6th, 1869. The College of New Jersey, better known today as Princeton, and Rutgers University played each other in a football match. This information comes from PrincetonTigersFootball.com. The word match should be a clue to all that this game was not recognizable in our era as being in the game of American football that we know and love. The game was played using a round-shaped ball, and they used football association or soccer rules, but the style of play closely resembled rugby. The game marked the beginning of intercollegiate football and subsequently had gone down in the history books as the first American college football game. The contest ended in a Rutgers win in which they scored 6 runs to Princeton's 4. 2 weeks later, after the inaugural game, Princeton handed Rutgers its first loss, 8-0, and both Rutgers and Princeton were retroactively awarded the 1869 National Championship. And now for the other big featured first that happened on November 6th, this time in the year 1929 in Providence, Rhode Island. Just days after the 1929 stock market crash, signaling the start of the Great Depression, the Providence Steamroller became the first NFL team granted permission by the NFL to host a game at night under floodlights as they scheduled it at the Cyclodrome in Providence. The Steamrollers had enjoyed success in the season before, as they had won the 1928 National Championship for the NFL. But multiple key players had left for better-paying jobs before the 1929 season, so a gimmick such as a night game might do the trick to bring in paying fans to the stands. The highest-paid man on the team was Jimmy Konzelman, remember that name later, who doubled as quarterback and coached with a $192 per game salary. Due to a heavy flooding in the Cyclodrome, the game against the Chicago Cardinals was moved to Kinsley Park so as not to lose in revenue. The portable floodlights were moved to Kinsley too, and the first NFL night game was played. The Steamroller lost by a score of 0-16, but were satisfied that 6,000 fans attended after the season of low attendance. In 1930, floodlights were permanently installed in the Cyclodrome, but the players received a pay reduction for night games to help pay for the cost of floodlight installation. Probably wouldn't go too far with the NFLPA in these days. Next, we'll go to an early NFL situation and team that probably most people never heard of, or if they did, they forgot about. It starts off in November 6, 1934. The NFL finally approved the sale of the Cincinnati Reds to the St. Louis Group for approximately $25,000. In the 1933 season of the NFL, a certain amount of stability had risen in the league, or so everyone thought.
The Cincinnati Reds football franchise was in trouble due to financial woes, but a group in St. Louis prior to the start of games offered to buy the team. The other NFL owners rejected the idea, feeling St. Louis was too far west to be in the league. However, as the Reds got further into the season, things got worse. The NFL was facing an embarrassing situation, with a team getting ready to fold mid-season. So finally, after weeks of negotiating, the NFL allowed the sale, according to a paper submitted to the PFRA by Bob Gill on the St. Louis Gunners franchise. The St. Louis Gunners took over the Reds roster and played a partial 1934 schedule. The backstory on the Gunners is really well told by Gill's transcript and basically tells us that after some failed pro teams in the St. Louis area, in 1931, the Field Artillery of the National Guard of Battery A announced it would sponsor a team for the coming season in the city. The team was promptly referred to as the Battery A Gunners from its association with the Guard. The team had a big signing in naming its head coach and player the famous pro star and future Hall of Famer Jimmy Konzelman. Remember him from one of the earlier headlines? Then, after securing the public school stadium as a home field, the Gunners were ready to open for business. The NFL couldn't be happier that they were waiting in the wings, and the Reds franchise was then bought out by the Gunners, and they became a part of the NFL. They won their first game against the Pittsburgh Pirates 6-0, but then the loss, the last two, to the Detroit Lions 40-7 and the Green Bay Packers 21-14. Unfortunately, the Gunners did not take the field in the next season. Thus, their franchise lasted in the league for 3 games. Our next football history headline is a more modern era, as it took place on November 6, 1995. That's when Art Modell officially announced that his Cleveland Browns franchise was moving to Baltimore. The city of Cleveland would later be learned to retain the Browns name, so Modell's franchise would go on to become the Baltimore Ravens. We hope right now, while you're taking this little break from our football history, that you'll hit the subscribe button on this podcast player, and also that you'll email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And now a couple words from one of my buddies at the sportshistorynetwork.com.
This is Jeremy McFarland from the Footballist Family Podcast. And I'm going to encourage you, if you get a chance, to come over to the Footballist Family Podcast, where we look at what makes football special and family to each person. We talk about each team, and we talk about the stories behind why fans love those teams. We encourage you to come and join us in our discussion. Thank you.
Now let's take some memories of some football Hall of Fame legends on their birthday for this November 6th. And we'll start off in the year 1914, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And Av Daniel, a tackle from the University of Pittsburgh, was born on that day, November 6, 1914. Per the NFF, Daniel played for the Panthers from 1934 through the 1936 seasons and made the team as a walk-on candidate. Utilizing his quickness and aggressive spirit, Daniel overshadowed many of the great linemen of his day. And in 1936, Daniel's senior season, the Panthers captain became a consensus All-American selection as a leader of what many feel remains the best line in Pitt history. The National Football Foundation elected to induct Av Daniel into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1975. After school, Av was in the National Football League as he played for the Brooklyn Dodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Then we go to November 6, 1916, Mount Clemens, Michigan. The great halfback from Michigan State, John Pingle, celebrated his birth. Pingle was a triple threat as his precision passing, astounding rushes, and his punting helped MSU achieve an 8-1 record in 1937. In fact, the footballfoundation.org website claims he averaged 5.1 yards per rushing attempt and completed 54% of his passes and led the nation in punting that season. John achieved his accolades and awards for being the top-ranked student athlete at the school and even gained All-American status on the gridiron in 1937. Those are many of the reasons that John Pingle was accepted into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1968. Next stop on the timeline of birthdays was November 6, 1946. It took place in Youngstown, Ohio. Edward D. Bartolo Jr., former owner of the San Francisco 49ers, was born. Bartolo purchased the franchise in 1977 and held ownership of the club for 23 years. In that time, his 49ers played in 16 playoff games. 10 of those were NFC Championship games, and they won 5 Super Bowl championships, per the Pro Football Hall of Fame's bio on Edward. The franchise posted the best winning percentage in the NFL in both the decades of the 1980s and the 1990s. DeBartolo was named to the NFL Man of the Year by the Football News in 1989 as recognition as the nation's top sports executives. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Edward DeBartolo Jr. in the year 2016. Next, we go to November 6, 1968 in Houston, Texas. That's the day when the fantastic University of Colorado linebacker Alfred Big Al Williams came into this world. Big Al was the 1990 Butkus Award winner as the nation's top linebacker per his bio on the NFF's website. Williams led the Colorado Buffaloes to the 1990 National Championship, and he set the Colorado record for career sacks at 35 and became a 1990 unanimous first-team All-American linebacker. The National Football Foundation elected to induct Al Williams into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2010. After school, he was a linebacker and defensive end that played for the Cincinnati Bengals, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Denver Broncos. Our next legendary Hall of Fame birthday is one that's a great one that we all should remember, especially as Veterans Day comes up. He was born on November 6, 1976 in Fremont, California, and he was the great player who was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame also in the year 2010, who was born on this day. Pat Tillman, who played linebacker at Arizona State University, secured his last remaining scholarship for the ASU team in 1994. Tillman excelled as a linebacker at Arizona State, despite being relatively small for the position at 5 foot 11 inches tall. After the 1997 season, Pat was voted to the Pac-10 Defensive Player of the Year, as well as being named the Arizona State's MVP of the season, and finished his collegiate career with 230 career tackles. The NFF goes on to tell us that Tillman was drafted by the Arizona Cardinals as a safety in the 1998 NFL Draft. Pat ended up spending four seasons with the Cards before being inspired to join the U.S. Army. Tillman was a U.S. Ranger and served tours in Iraq in 2003 and 2004 before he was tragically killed. Tillman was posthumously honored with the NFF's Distinguished American Award in the year 2006. The Pat Tillman Foundation was established in his name to promote the scholarship and spirit of community service and supporting veterans, active service members, and their dependents. Pat Tillman was a great football player, but he was even a greater American and a hero we all should remember this Veterans Day with all of our other veterans. We salute you, my friends. Thank you. Tomorrow's podcast is going to be another great one, and you don't want to miss it, so why don't you hit the subscribe button on your embed player right now so we get all the action to you. Or you can write us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we'll send an email of our podcast and the article right to your email inbox. And tomorrow's edition for the tease, we have a football player that the world got shocked by getting shot, and a 1933 law was repealed that helped play Sunday football. We have all this tomorrow on your Pigskin Dispatch History Football Headlines. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Darren Hayes, host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcast. I hope you've enjoyed another great episode here on Sports History Network. Now, speaking of sports history, this episode was brought to you by Firefly Books, and they have two great ones for you this summer. For basketball fans, they have the NBA 75, The Definitive History by author Dave Zarum, who's appeared on our Jersey Dispatch podcast recently. He tells about the experience, the thrilling journey of the NBA from its humble beginnings
to its modern glory. Uncover the untold stories of triumph, controversy, and the greatest stars of the game. This isn't just a book. It's courtside seats to over 75 years of NBA history. And for the golf enthusiasts, swing into The Golf Round, I'll Never Forget, by Matt Adams. Relive 50 of golf's most memorable moments through the eyes of the legends themselves. From Garcia's triumph at the 2017 Masters to Nicklaus' miraculous 1986 comeback, it's the closest you'll get to walking the fairways with golf's greatest. Get your summer read on. Grab a copy of NBA 75 or The Golf Round, I'll Never Forget, available online or at your favorite bookstore.